Well, it's a joy to be back here at Times Square. Sit down, please. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Exodus tonight. Second book of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, chapter 15. It's so good to be back here. You know, I'm so privileged. I get to preach in some of the greatest churches in America every Sunday. And there's no place like getting the preach out of you than coming to Times Square Church. You believe in prayer tonight? Well, I want to give you a prayer testimony, okay? One of the times I was preaching here last winter, about 6 months ago, Pastor Tim said, he and his wife, our wives, we were having dinner. He said, I want to know how I can pray for you. And I had gotten, I was weighed more than I've ever weighed in my life. And I said, well, just pray that I'll lose weight. And I want to tell you something. Since then, 6 months ago, I've lost 40 pounds. Look at that. I'm not talking about Ozempic or Monjura. I'm talking about Pastor Tim's prayers. Now, unfortunately, it's cost me a fortune because I can't wear anything I used to wear. And I'm going to send him a bill for all my new clothes. But it worked. And so don't be taking all that other stuff. Just come down here to the altar after church. Say, Pastor Tim, pray that I'll lose weight. And I'm going to tell you, it'll fall off of you. I'm promising you. Because I believe in the power of prayer. Tonight, I want to share some truth from the Word of God tonight in Exodus chapter 15. You know, just for a bit of background, we've just seen one of the most incredible miracles in all the Bible take place in chapter 14. In chapter 13, we see the Passover there in Egypt and that great miracle. And then we see in chapter 13 that God starts leading all those Israelites under the leadership of Moses. He starts leading them, remember, with a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Wouldn't that be wonderful? If we're looking for the leadership of God in our lives, what if we just could just follow a cloud every day? That's where God is leading us. Or a pillar of fire by night. That's what they did. And they followed him, and they came to the Red Sea in chapter 14. Incredible miracle. Moses raised up his staff, and the Red Sea parted. They went through on dry ground. And some incredible things that happened. They get on the other side of the Red Sea. The Red Sea closes. The Egyptian army is drowned in the sea. You know, some of these skeptical Bible scholars say it was the Reed Sea, and it really wasn't that much of a miracle because they just crossed over on ankle deep water. It was really shallow, and they really didn't. It just caused. That's even a bigger miracle. The entire Egyptian army drowned in ankle deep water. Think about that. But God did. Moses lifted his staff. They opened the Red Sea. They came to, and then they sang the song of Moses in chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and rider thrown into the sea, and they were singing and dancing and celebrating. And we come to our text a few verses later, beginning in verse 22. Then Moses, the Bible says, made Israel set out from the Red Sea. Then they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days into the wilderness, the desert, and they found no water. And then the Bible says in verse 23 that when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah. They saw this oasis. They thought, this is going to satisfy. They rushed to Marah. But they couldn't drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. And therefore, they named the place Marah. And the people grumbled against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? What are we going to drink? And he cried out unto the Lord. And look at this. And the Lord showed him a tree. And when he cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made a statute and an ordinance for them. And there he tested them, saying, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord, your God, and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments, keep all of his statutes, I will put none of these diseases on you which I've brought on the Egyptians, for I am Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord who heals you. Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 wells of water and 70 date palm trees, and they camped there by the waters. You know, it's an amazing thing to read. Just 3 days after the great miracle of crossing through the Red Sea, just 3 days later, after singing and dancing at the Red Sea experience, they come to this bitter experience of Mara. You know, it may be that some of you are here today and you've made your camp there at Mara. People come into this room. Maybe you're sitting by a bitter Mara pool. And bitterness has taken over your life. There's a spirit of bitterness that's encamped with you. Maybe you're going through a bitter experience of life, some difficulty of life. You know, they often come on the heels of great triumphs. None of us are immune to the storms and trials and Mara experiences of life. Jesus himself said what? The rain falls upon whom? The just and the unjust alike. Maybe you came into this room tonight in the midst of a bitter experience. You can leave here tonight with an incredible blessing. Do you know that Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11, that everything that happened to these Israelites in the wilderness happened to them for what? For an example for us. There's a message for us. There's a story for us. There's a truth for us in this very story of these children of Israel. 3 days after a great miracle experience, they find a bitter, bitter experience of life. So there's some lessons we learn at Mara. Here's the first one. The Mara experiences of life are predictable. Don't be surprised by them. Don't be surprised by them. As sure as you live and breathe, Mara is going to come your way. Some bitter experience is going to be your lot. Now, I want you to get the picture. They'd just gone through the Red Sea. They sang the song. They were singing and rejoicing and singing. Day one, they plodded through the desert. There were no trees, the blaring sun, the blinding sandstorms, the hot baked earth. They marched and marched. The water supply was diminishing. The kids were starting to cry and holler and get thirsty. You know, in August, New York City in August is a really tough place to be. When it's 100 degrees and high humidity and that sun is coming off these concrete canyons of here and it's just baking and it feels so hot. This was New York City in August times two in the desert. Day one. Day two. Same tireless monotony, same journey through the same barren wilderness, wondering what tomorrow would hold for their parched lips and now their blistering feet. Day three, same thing. But someone spotted in the distance an oasis. Water. They saw an oasis. They saw pools of water, and they picked up their pace. They started running. Their fatigue was forgotten. They reached the water. They fell down. They stuck their face in it. They took a drink, and they had to spit it out and throw up. It was so bitter, they couldn't swallow it. Mara. That was the experience they had. Anyone here identify with those folks? You ran to that thing you thought was going to satisfy. And it was bitter. Maybe it was a person. You ran to that person. You thought that was going to satisfy you. It wasn't God's plan for you. And it was a bitter experience. You ran to that job. You ran for that quick buck. You thought that was going to satisfy. But you're sitting here tonight and you're saying, you know, it didn't. is a bitter, bitter experience. Disappointment. Maybe it was a marriage. Maybe it was a job. Maybe it was easy money. Maybe you ran for that first line of cocaine, thinking it was going to satisfy. And it didn't. Thirsty for more in life, you ran to that thing that you thought was going to satisfy, but it resulted in bitterness. That's what happened to them at Mara. No, we all know something of this Mara experience. And they most often happen after some great, really great spiritual experience we've had. They follow on the heels of great victories so often. We don't learn spiritual lessons on mountaintops. We learn them in the valleys. We learn them at the Mara places of life. I remember back in Deuteronomy 11, but when they were about to enter the wilderness, before they got to the promised land, he said, the land you're about to enter is what? A land of hills and valleys. Life's like that, isn't it? It's a land of hills and valleys. And it often comes at the end of some great. Look at Elijah. We see him calling down fire from heaven, defeating those false prophets of Baal one day. And the next day, where do we find him? After he runs down from Dan to Beersheba, he runs down there and he's under a juniper tree contemplating suicide, wishing he was dead. It happened to Joshua. Pastor Tim and I were just talking about Joshua 6. The walls of Jericho fell flat. And the very next chapter, chapter 7, they got to thinking that they could do it themselves. I went up to a little place called Ai and got defeated in a bitter, bitter experience. Bitterness is sure to come. Perhaps you find yourself at a Mara place today, bitterness. Maybe you're there for a reason. Because God wants you to trust in Him and not those experiences of life that come your way. Mara experiences of life are predictable. But secondly, I want you to see, they're providential. Verse 24 speaks about this. Verse 24 says that when they came to Mara, they couldn't drink the waters. It was bitter there. Therefore, they named it Mara. How'd they get there? God was leading them. Remember, they were following a cloud every day, and they were following a pillar of fire at night. They weren't there by accidents. God was leading them. They got there. God was in control, but they grumbled and they murmured against Moses. Think what they had just seen 3 days earlier. If God could part a Red Sea and deliver them from Egyptian bondage, couldn't he do something 3 days later? And the same man that led them out and held up the staff and the seas parted and he raised it up on the other side and they came back together. This same man, 3 days later, they're murmuring against and they're grumbling against him. Complaining. You know, the problem was they'd forgotten that God had led them to Mara. Mara experiences are providential. Just because you may be there doesn't mean you're out of the will of God. It's a time we see of testing, the Bible says. God was leading them by a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. You know what? Life would be a lot easier, wouldn't it, if we could be led by that. Some of you are here today, you need leadership in your life. You're trying to discern the will of God for your life and leadership. How much easier would that be if you walked out of here at night and there was a pillar of fire and you just, all you had to do was follow it wherever God was leading you? Wouldn't that be good? You get up in the morning and you walk outside, there's a cloud and look at it's moving and you just follow that cloud and you're right in the will, you're just leading where God, wouldn't that be something to do? You know, why can't, if God could do that for them, why doesn't he do it for us? Some of you in bondage tonight, if he could open a Red Sea, why can't, anybody here live in New Jersey? Why can't you just go over there to the Hudson River tonight and raise up your umbrella and walk through on dry ground? I mean, God can do anything, can't you? You believe in miracles? I do too. He did it before. But he's not doing it right now like that. Why? You ever thought about that? Now, listen, we believe God does miracles. I know he does. I've seen him. God could turn that wall right there into green cheese right now if he wanted to. God can do anything. So get that in your head and know it. But why aren't we seeing these manifestations like they did here exactly? It's because God introduced every dispensation in the Bible with signs and wonders that never were repeated. He was grabbing attention of people. Look, how about the dispensation of innocence? Genesis 1 and 2, when we're there in the garden in a perfect paradise. God instituted that first dispensation with signs and wonders that have never been repeated. He spoke and created out of nothing trees and plant life and vegetation and animals and the sun and the moon and the sun. He spoke and it was there out of nothing. There hasn't been anything created out of nothing since then. Been a lot of beautiful creations. Look at the beautiful beauty of this building and the artistry of this building, but it wasn't created out of nothing. What about the dispensation of the law with Moses? These signs and wonders, the parting of the Red Sea, this cloud by day and this pillar of fire by night. What about the dispensation of grace in which we're living that was introduced in Acts 2? Listen, this room has seen some of the mightiest Holy Ghost prayer meetings of any room in the world in our lifetime. I've prayed with these elders, seen the power of God in their prayers. But you know what? We've been in prayer meetings in this room, but we've never looked around and seen cloven tongues of fire sitting on someone's head. We could, but we haven't. We've never seen this place shaken like it was physically shaken, like off its foundation, or heard a sound of a mighty rushing wind. Doesn't mean God's not the same God that he is today. Listen, we have something they didn't have back there when they were seeing this. We have the final, complete revelation of God, his word. And we have the Holy Spirit who's come to indwell us, to live in us, to never forsake. You see, in those old dispensations, the Holy Spirit would come. But when you were unfaithful, he would depart from you. One of the saddest verses in the Bible says of Samson, that what? The Holy Spirit departed from him. What David pray in that great prayer in Psalm 51? Lord, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Nobody who's come to Christ and been filled with the Holy Spirit can ever have to pray that prayer today. Because he's come to indwell us, never to leave us, to empower us for service. And what does Romans 8:14 say? Those who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. God will never lead you to do anything that's contrary to his word. You have his word. You have his spirit. Mara experiences of life, and some of you are in a bitter experience of life right now. Those Mara experiences of life are predictable. They're going to come your way. They're providential. God was leading these people with a cloud by day and with a pillar of fire by night here in this place. And look in verse 25. It says, he was testing them. Later, Moses wrote in Deuteronomy, remember how, Deuteronomy 8:2, remember how the Lord led you to humble you and test you to see what was in your heart if you would keep his commandments. Sometimes we go to a place called Mara because God is testing us to see what is in our hearts, to see if we would keep his commandments. Just because you're in a place of bitterness may not mean you're out of the will of God. It may mean that God has led you there to prepare you for something greater. There are two kinds of storms in life, as you know. There are storms of correction and storms of perfection. Sometimes you're out of the will of God, and there comes a storm of correction to get you back in the will of God. You need an illustration of that. What about Jonah? God told him, go this way. He went that way. And he got thrown overboard, and a fish swallowed him. and regurgitated him. And that storm he was in was a storm of correction. Got his attention, and he repented. He went to Nineveh, where he was supposed to go in the first place, and a great revival broke out. But there are also storms of perfection. Those happen when you're in the will of God, just like here, when God is leading and you're in the will of God. Remember the disciples? One night on the northern shore of Galilee, Jesus said, "You guys get in a boat and go to the other side of the lake. I'm going to go up in the mountain and pray." And they were where God told them to be, and they were doing what God told them to do, and a storm came, and they thought they were going to capsize. They got afraid that they were going to die. He came walking on the water and stilled the storms and said, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt me?" He was perfecting their faith. So just because you're in a Mara experience of life may not be because you're out of the will of God. Maybe God led you there. Mara experiences are providential. The Mara experiences are where we learn to trust God, not at the Red Sea. Look at Joseph. He had a Mara experience of life, an Egyptian dungeon for something he never did. He was thrown in jail, falsely accused, but it prepared him to be an incredible leader. Everybody that was ever used of God had a Mara experience. What Moses, we're talking about Moses here. 40 years in the backside of a desert. 40 years in obscurity. Until one day God spoke to him from a burning bush and said, "Come now, Moses, and I'm going to send you to Pharaoh. Tell him to let my people go." And he did. Preparing him for that. Jesus had a Mara experience. Neath those old olive trees in Gethsemane's garden, sweating drops of blood in agony and in pain, winning the victory of Calvary there. Listen, the people's gripe was with the Lord. Moses was simply leading them God's way. How often we're here. God leads us and we come to Mara and it's a bitter experience and we just blame everybody else. That's what they did. They just grumbled at Moses. They blamed others for their own bitterness. Bitter experiences, you know what they can do? They can make bitter people. And when you're there, and if you're in a bitter experience today, you're at your own Mara somewhere, and you ran to that thing that was going to satisfy, but it didn't. And that water's bitter, and you're going through a bitter experience of life. Bitterness of Mara. You've come to Mara. Bitter experiences can make bitter people or better people in how you deal with them. Listen, it may be that God will allow your Mara to remain until you learn the lessons. And it may be like verse 25, that God is testing you. There's a third lesson we learn at Mara, and that's this. The Mara experience of life are purposeful. There's a purpose in them. God didn't lead us there by accident. Now remember, he's leading those people with a cloud by day. They're just following where God's leading them because there's a purpose in it. What did Moses do in verse 25? He cried out to the Lord. You know what? I don't know what I'd have done if I'd have been Moses. I don't know what you'd have done if you'd have been Moses. But Moses cried out to the Lord. It never occurred to the people to pray. They were prone to look for every other possibility. Well, what more did Moses could have retaliated against the people? Ungrateful, taking them out of bondage, taking them out of Egypt. Now all they're doing is griping 3 days later. He could have resented it. He could have taken it personal. He could have resigned. He said, "All right, y'all just go your own way. I'm done with you," and quit. No, he took it to the Lord. He cried out to the Lord. Mara has its own way of driving us to the Lord. They're really kind of two kinds of people. Those who murmur and complain when they get in a bitter experience or those who take it to the Lord. Mara experiences, they're not just predictable. They're not just providential. They're purposeful. And if you're at Mara, it's a good place to cry out to the Lord. Maybe you're there tonight. You, Maybe you back here. Maybe you're in a bitter experience of life. And nobody knows about it, but you do. The water is so bitter. It's a good place to cry out to God. And there's a final word, and that's this. The Mara experiences of life are profitable. They're profitable. What did God do? Look what it says in verse 25. He showed him a tree. Now, that tree was there all the time. They just hadn't seen it. It was there. But he showed it. He went over and said, look right here, God did. He showed him a tree. He said, see that tree right there? Look at it. He showed him a tree. He pointed it out. It'd been there all along, but Moses, the children of Israel, they hadn't noticed it. Beside each bitter Mara pool grows a tree. Grows a tree. The problem with some of us is we're so busy murmuring and complaining that we haven't seen it. And this, incidentally, that tree is a picture of a tree upon which my Savior died. When thrown into those bitter waters of Mara where you lost so much, can still make bitter water sweet. He showed him a tree. That tree is the cross upon which our Savior died. The cross is your solution to bitterness. What a difference a tree can make. Listen, bitterness is sure to come. But I want to tell you something else. Bitterness is sure to go. Note the blessing was dependent upon their obedience. He showed them a tree, but it was not until they took that tree and threw it into that water that the water became sweet. And look at verse 27. I love this. One of my favorite verses in all the Bible. Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs of water. How many tribes in the children of Israel? 12. There was a spring of water for every tribe. And 70 date palms. How many elders? 70. And 70 palm trees. And look here. And they camped there at Elim by the water. Thank God, this is where we settle in and camp. At the Elim experiences of life. Why are you camped out at Mara? Some of you got to that bitter experience of Mara. You just set your camp there. You've just wallowed in it. And you've stayed in it. Stayed in it. At Elim, there are 12 springs of water and 70 date palms. Oh, the glory of Elim. How refreshing to rest under those palms and drink from those springs. Elim is the place of God's blessing. And sometimes you have to go through the desert to get there. Are you at Mara right now? A place of bitterness? Elim is just around the corner. You know what? It's just a few miles from Mara. You look on a Bible map, and you look at a map of the Bible, of the wilderness wanderings and everything. It's that far from Mara to Elim. What am I saying? To those of you who are bitter tonight or in a place of bitterness, it's not very far from Mara to Elim. Some of you camp there at Mara, and you think it's a long way off to the place of blessing. No, it's real close. It's not very far from Mara to Elim. Not at all. God wants to make your point of bitterness a place of blessing, a place of overcoming. For Moses, his place of struggle became his place of sweetness. It can happen to you. It can happen to you. You know, it happened to a guy named Horatio Spafford. One thing I like about Times Square is you sing. Singing churches are happy churches. How can we know the How can we know the fullness of God without singing, making melody in our hearts? And the Lord, it's one of the proofs of the filling of the Holy Spirit. Listen, the Marr experience of life happened to a guy named Horatio Spafford. His wife and his daughters were lost in a horrible accident at sea and drowned when their ship sunk. And Spafford, the place of his bitterness, became the place of blessing for millions of us who've sung his song. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, you've taught me to say, it's well with my soul. Happened to William Cooper. He was standing on a big bridge over the Thames River in London, about to commit suicide in a mood of bitterness, a mar of depression. And somehow he got off of that bridge, got down, went to his little village of Olney. He saw a tree, and the place of bitterness became the place of blessing for all who sung what he wrote down that night when he got home. There's a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. The Lord showed him a tree. It's been there all along for you who are at Mara. It's been there all along. Maybe tonight God's showing you a tree. The solution to your problems, the solution to your Mara experience of life, is the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, where he who knew no sin became sin for you, that you might become the righteousness of God in him. It's not very far from Marah to Elam if, as verse 26 says, you listen to his voice and do what is right in his eyes. Some of you made your camp at Mara. Not supposed to do that. There's a reason they said they didn't camp there. They camped at Elam. That's where they settled in. But some of you, you got to Mara and you stayed there. Oh, Elam's just over the hill. Elam's just down these aisles to this altar. You know where the Lord is camping tonight? Psalm 34, 7 tells us. The angel of the Lord, that's the pre-incarnate Christ, encamps among those who fear him and what? Delivers them, Psalm 34, 7. You may be camped at Mara tonight. I want to tell you where the Lord Jesus is camped. He's encamped among those who fear him, and he will deliver you tonight. He'll take your bitterness and make it a blessing. It's not very far from Mara to Elam. Let's bow our hearts together for prayer all over this time. There are people in this room tonight, as Pastor Tim comes to join me, there are people in this room tonight who need deliverance. You're at Mara. And that bitter experience of life is about to make you bitter, but God's showing you a tree. And he wants to turn your bitterness into blessing, and he wants to deliver you tonight. If you're here tonight in a bitter experience of life right now, while everybody's heads are bowed and eyes are closed, nobody's going to come to you and embarrass you anyway, but if you're here tonight and you need that bitterness to be turned into blessing, you need deliverance tonight. God's encamped among you. He's showing you a tree. Would you just stand up where you are right now? You're at Mara. Just stand where you are. Stand up all over the room. If you're at Mara, you want to get delivered tonight. Stand up where you are. It's not very far from Mara to Elam. God wants to deliver you tonight. He wants to set you free tonight. He's showing you a tree. He's showing you the way. It's not that far from Mara to Elam. Pastor, come and close this service. Maybe we want to invite these to come to the altar, however you want to do that. These are standing.
Everybody stand together, but I want those that are standing, this is going to be a night of freedom and deliverance. You come to this altar. I want you to meet us down here. We're going to get ready to pray for you tonight. It's going to be a night of freedom, a night of deliverance, a night where you're going to camp at the right place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There was a, as OS, let me just say this to you, as you're making your way down, OS and I had the opportunity to sit in the hotel that Horatio Spafford and his wife built in Jerusalem. And when he was over that spot where his wife and daughters perished on the sea, there hanging on the wall was the telegram and the lyrics of the song that he penned. Saw it with my own eyes. Saw the words, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. That was the tree. That was a tree that God was going, I'm going to make those waters, literal ocean waters, I'm going to make them sweet. I'm going to give you something through that water. And that's what God did. God opened up his eyes at that place, his spiritual eyes, to do something so powerful there. Close your eyes for just a second. I want you to hear those words. I want you to hear those. It is well with my soul, with my soul,
with my soul. It is well with my soul.
Sing that first verse. When peace like a river, come on, sing it with me.
When peace like a river attendeth my way.
Hallelujah.
When sorrows like sea billows roll.
Whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, sing it now. Whatever. Sing that chorus now. It is well. Just lift your hands and sing. It is well. Come on, sing it to him right now.
It is well. It is well with my soul. With my soul. It is well.
Let's sing that second verse. Satan should buffet, sing it with us.
Though Satan should
sing this part. Though trials should come, that's Mara, that's Mara. Let this blessed assurance, sing it, church. Verse with us.
Nailed
to the cross. those at this altar, just lift your hands to him and just say, God, open my eyes to see that tree. Open my eyes, Lord God, in the midst of the bitter situation, in the midst of that bitter moment, open my eyes, open my eyes. God, let me see what I haven't seen before. Let me see, God, let me hear your voice again. God, you did it with even Abraham, God, on the side of that mountain, God, with his son Isaac, and you said, there's a ram, open your eyes, that the ram stuck in the thicket, Lord God. Father, and I'm praying tonight that you'd open our eyes to see that in the midst of a bitter situation, there's a tree, hallelujah. Would you now just say thank you for the cross? Just say thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross, oh God. Thank you for the cross. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We thank you for your cross, oh God. We thank you for the cross. Oh, we bless your name. We bless your name. We bless your name. You know, those at this altar, just look at me for a second. I want to believe tonight that those bitter waters, have you ever tasted anything bitter? It affects your face, doesn't it? It's like, and when people have been in bitter situations, this is them. You see it on them. You see it. There's something that's there, something that's said, done, and all of a sudden that you see the bitterness and you've lost the joy. But tonight, I want to believe that the bitter taste, the bitter look that's there, where somebody comes and says to you, why are you so happy? And some of you, listen, we've been there. Some of you, you haven't heard that before. You haven't heard that before. But I want to believe tonight that God's going to bring joy back again. God's going to bring joy back. It's enough of drinking the bitter water every day. Enough of drinking that. Today we just go, God, I'm going to let it go. I'm going to let that thing go. I'm going to believe. And for some, it is a situation. It is, my wife leaned over to me and we have this precious, precious friend that's in some bitter waters right now and just simply goes and mentioned the name and just said, they need to hear this. They've been stuck. These were her words to me. She whispered, she goes, they're stuck at Mara. But tonight, we're going to get over to Elam tonight. We're going to get to Elam tonight. And here's the good news. As it was for those tribes, there was a spring for each person. I believe the same thing. He's the God that's more than enough. There's a spring for each of you tonight to say, God, let me drink. Let me drink tonight. So could we just surrender that to the Lord right now? Come on, from their seats, from those watching around the country and around the world, just go, God, I'm on my way to Elam tonight. I'm on my way to Elam tonight. What has been bitter in my soul, I release it tonight, Lord God. And these feet that have been stuck and camping at bitter waters will now start to move tonight. Those feet are going to start to move tonight. Those few miles to Elam, there's a spring tonight. Oh, spring up, oh well, inside of our souls tonight. Spring up, oh well, inside of us. And so, God, we take that admonition. We take that challenge tonight. We will not be stuck any longer. We're moving on. We're moving on. We're moving on to say, God is with us. God is with us. God is with us. And we're going to believe that. That, Father, bitter looks, bitter taste, bitter facial expression, gone. Sweetness come back to our spirit again.